Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the Big Country. Thank you so much for joining me today on this fact-filled episode we're going to have. There's a lot of stuff coming up that I really look forward to talking to you about. But before I move into the episode, I just want to make sure that if you don't mind subscribing and sharing this podcast with your family and friends so that they can also be educated, informed, to be able to make an impact in the places God has placed them, because I can't do this by myself and you can't do it by yourself. And even together, it's not that great. We need more people joining us in what we're called to do here as we serve God in our community and make sure we do our part to make this the best community we can live in this side of heaven. So thank you for doing that for me. There's a couple of things I just wanted to talk about in my my kicking off of the episode. And, you know, we are knee-deep in election season. If you haven't noticed, you're probably getting a few mailers every now and then, or maybe you're getting a lot. And what's interesting, as I've learned to work in political campaigns a little bit more and be more involved, if you're getting mailers, it's because you're a registered voter and you actively vote in this season would be the primary. So if you're not liking these mailers, then the problem is this is the downside to being an active person who uses their voice well in the elections, because when you vote, then your name is able to be seen by many people who know that you're voting. And so it's not always just campaigns. I've learned that there are political action committees called PACs that are also heavily involved. And we're getting quite a few flyers these days. A lot of people are getting frustrated, but actually recognize that that means we have a race worth fighting for. So stop seeing those flyers, you know, throw them in the trash if you don't want to read them. But nonetheless, it means that there's something exciting going on in our community that people from outside of our community are wanting to be invested in what goes on because they've seen the impact our community leadership makes in the state of Texas. So I see that as a good thing. It's a win-win for Abilene when we start to have some more heavily competitive races that allow us to be able to discuss the issues and talk about what we're actually working on to improve our community with by knowing the issues that we struggle with. And so one of the things I have found is it's very important. Let me just say again, if you haven't already heard me say this, or you don't know that early voting begins February 20th and it goes through March 1st. And then you have the weekend off if you haven't voted by that point. And then March 5th is actual election day here in our community. And remember, this is our primary election. And that means, I've got to correct myself because I've said there's not really a Democratic primary in our area, but actually there are some races that do have some Democrat opponents running against each other to be vying for that position. I think it's in the U.S. Congressional District Race 19. And so, you know, even I get things a little off every now and then, but I just wanted to say that this is where we vote on a lot of our races because it is we're a Republican county, and the Republican primary winner usually is the winner in November, regardless of how many or who's running against them. And so it's really important that we show up to vote. But one of the things I found is that you can start to learn the rhythm of an election. It's really quite interesting because there are points that start to resonate through the media about different positions. And we've seen these ads where they put all the news reporters up and they're saying the basic same thing. And what's funny is I'm starting to see that in this election, that you can look across the state of Texas and start to see that there is a repetitive narrative that is being spoken by a certain group of people. And it's fascinating. So my challenge to you is, can you find it? Do you see it? Do you notice that it's kind of across the board and it's not a talking point local to our area, but it's just kind of something that a group of people are just saying over and over again? And you know, what's interesting is when we vote in Republican priorities, it allows us to give litmus tests to things that matter to our state and that we're going to hold as a benchmark for successful representation. And what's interesting is when you have an election race going on like we have now. And what, there's a really big issue that seems to be prominent in a lot of the conversations around town and even around our state. And what's interesting is 90% of the people have voted to approve this and they want it, but it seems like the conversation is not getting to that place. And so look up the information. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you in this podcast, but I want you to start learning how to look up things. And there's a lot of great information and a lot of resources, you know, learning how to look up how a representation votes on different issues is tricky and takes a lot of effort. But if we start looking together, we're going to find that there are things that we can look at evidence to say like, hey, is this what we're okay with? Or, you know, do we want something different? And it's just a process. So I'm really proud of our community. I really think there has been an engagement like I haven't seen in a while. And a lot of it's been because they're frustrated. So let me just give you a heads up. It seems like there's going to be quite a few mailers coming your way because it is happening all over the state. So just know that if you're getting a mailer, it is not particular to a candidate or even a cause. It is just something that's happening because we've had a lot of shakeups in our state this year. And so it's going to get even worse in the next few weeks. So just hang on. It'll be over by March 5th and the mailers will stop. So anyway, I think we just have to be aware of what's going on so that we don't get frustrated over things that really aren't the issue. But it has been a fun season, that's for sure. A lot of ups and a lot of downs and a lot of, oh my goodness, I can't wait for it to be over, to be honest. I'm ready for spring. So anyway, let's go ahead and move into the week in review. All right. It has been a full week. There has been a lot of stuff going on. I say a full week. I was able to go to quite a few meetings and unfortunately I missed a couple and still was able to make a couple. And so I think it's really important that we look and see what was going on this week so we can do a better job of paying attention to the rhythm of our city. And I have a lot of notebooks here and I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to them so I can point out to you what is going on. The first meeting we had was with the Board of Building Standards, and I really have enjoyed getting to see familiar faces and start to recognize who people are and recognize who is going to make this educational opportunity a lot more fun and who the people that are going to make this more challenging for sure. I will say that it takes quite a bit of effort to be an average citizen here in town because in order to know what they're talking about board meetings, you need to look at board packets, the agenda packets, if they offer them, read minutes from previous meetings if you haven't been able to attend them or if they're even available, and then look at the agenda so that you can be prepared when they start talking about things, you will actually know what they're talking about. And then once you watch the meeting or attend the meeting, then you can have these questions that you're learning that are helpful to ask or to look more into or things that are just conundrums that you're never going to know, I guess. So I went to this Board of Adjustments meeting with eyes wide open. I was actually excited. I had it on my calendar so I could go, even though it was probably only like 23 minutes, I think, is the entire meeting. So it was a quick run in, but I was able to make it. And the thing that I thought was most interesting is this was a continuation of the last month's meeting where a gentleman had actually submitted a permit to improve, to add a garage to this backyard. And somehow there was some confusion that he put in the wrong amount, the wrong number of the pitch of the roof, and it caused some problems. And so the last meeting, they tabled it so they could talk about it again because they wanted him to see how much it would cost to fix it. So what I've learned then is that they were saying that he messed it up, it was his fault, and now it's going to have to pay. And it was really concerning to me that a board would be so adamant about a person's innocent mistake that they would make them have to, they would hold their feet to the fire so harshly. It made no sense. And so as I was preparing for this meeting, I saw that he did submit some, estimates to see what the cost would be. And he also actually had more neighbors chime in about their opinions about what he did and showed pictures of other structures in the neighborhood that were exactly like what he had in his own neighborhood that they were having a fit about, which is all I know how to say is they were just kind of, you know, being really ridiculous about it. And so I didn't want to have a public comment because I don't know this man. I have nothing to gain by speaking in his behalf or not. But I really wanted them to recognize that this is not how we function as a city. We should not be penalizing people just because they make mistakes. Now, it's one thing, I said this last time, it's one thing if you intentionally try and circumvent the rules, but it's another thing if it's just something that you weren't anticipating doing. I was very proud of this gentleman. He actually had a neighbor come and speak on his behalf and talk about how his garage improved the aesthetics of the neighborhood. It wasn't a deterrent or caused problems. And there was an empty lot behind his house. So it wasn't even like it was just one neighbor that was not happy about it, it seems like. But what I started to notice is that they are talking about reworking the land development code. And so my first thought is, if the land development code, which includes these kind of requirements, there should be some allowance for some flexibility until it's actually established, because they know there's problems with it and they need to fix it. So to me, that was one point why they shouldn't have even made this an issue and just given the guy the variance, because that's what this board is it gives people an allowance to go outside what's the rules and to do things that are exceptions because they're variances. And so it was really interesting watching them kind of tap dance around how to allow this to fit their requirements so that they could allow it. And it was like they just missed the heart of the law, which is to keep things in somewhat of uniformity, but not so stringent that people cannot have ways to do things on their property that they wish. And then I was very thankful for Shonda Rixey, I think is how you say her name. She was the board member who said, well, I'm looking at this, because I was thinking it was going to go badly for this poor man and he was going to be out $2,000 to $5,000 for no reason. And then they took a turn because Shonda Rixey said, well, you know, actually, I think there's a way to see how this is allowable and we can make it work and all this stuff. And it was just a sad case of a waste of all of our times. And so I hope they work better at making sure that they understand what variances are. Variances are exceptions. They're not new standards that are being set. And so anyway, I'm thankful they did approve his variance and he was able to successfully keep the garage that he's already built. And, you know, what's interesting is when these homes were built, were in the 50s, the pitches of the roof, the separate structures, were either flat or they were like, you know, where they had a pitch that went up in one direction. Well, nowadays we have gable roofs is that how you say that? Where there's a pitch in the middle. And so it's just a difference in styles of homes and reflection of how important it is to get this land code development updated. So let's see here. Now I will talk about the next meeting that happened, which was the airport. The Airport Development Board meeting that happened on Wednesday. And due to some outside circumstances, I was not able to attend, which was disappointing because I was looking forward to this. And I took my notes and I got ready, and there were no minutes listed on this one. I got my notes ready. There were no minutes listed. And then I was really disappointed to hear that the agenda that I had prepared for had nothing to do with the meeting they were having. This is a first for me. They said, okay, we're going to skip to number 5 and we're going to have Mark Zimmerman, I think is how you say his name. He is a contract. Let's see, I'm trying to look where my notes went. He is a consultant. That's what it's called. I knew that wasn't right. It's a consultant and for the airport, and seems like he is an asset. My first thought is, how much does he cost? Is that bad? How much does he cost for us to get his consulting services? But the whole program, the entire hour, was about this presentation that he made. So they talked about nothing else. They indicated nothing else, and there was nothing handed out. So you couldn't even hardly follow along except the presentation, which thankfully they were able to show on the screen. And so I took a couple of screenshots. But one thing that was an unexpected twist of events is, let's see if I can get here really quickly and show you that we had a unexpected visitor that I was surprised about. You can see him right there at the bottom of the screen. There he is. Representative Stan Lambert was at the meeting. So I was really disappointed I didn't get to go and meet him at this public meeting, because that would have been a first for me. But then Mark Cameraman talked about a lot of different things. So let me just show you some of the things he talked about. He talked about their strategic planning and trying to make sure that we make the most of our airport. And I think that's great. They're advocates for air service growth. They consult with the community and local stakeholders to related to air service development efforts and incentives, and they try to establish new routes for the airport and the airlines, and then they present tactical representation at industry events and headquarters and meetings, and then they plan events to maintain the existing routes that we have in the airport. And so I thought this map was interesting. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but the green map is the surrounding areas that use Abilene. I believe the dark green is the ones that will typically drive to Dallas. Dallas is our next hub. We don't really go west, we go east. And so about 54% is what they said will drive from Abilene to Dallas-Fort Worth to use their flights. And that's what these green colors show, that most of the time they choose to drive rather than fly. And so they were talking about what does that look like. And at the end of the meeting, it was interesting. One of the gentlemen on the board, and they didn't put their nameplates up high enough so people can know who they are, because I don't know all these people and I'm still learning names. But he said that people need to understand there's a time factor that is involved in and driving to Dallas. And I remember one time we drove to DC, and we were flying to DC. And so we were going to fly out of Dallas. And so we got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and lo and behold, we almost missed our flight to Dallas because there was a semi had gone off the road, and we were stuck on the highway for 45 minutes trying to get to Abilene at 4:30 in the morning. And it was ridiculous. And I'm glad we didn't miss our flight, but I understand what he's saying. But most of the time when you're flying with a family, you really, it's not economical to spend $200 extra to fly out of Abilene, although my book is totally worth it, but it's not economical. And so in those cases, it's worth driving. But if you're a business person, I guess it wouldn't be a big deal to pay at once for an extra person. But our rates are pretty high in connection to the other airports around us, and it's just lack of competition. And I learned some other interesting things. So that's what I wanted to share with you there. So now we can see that this is, once you get out of Abilene and you go to Dallas, then this is where people fly out of. Most people, let's see, I can't read that. Is that 64%? Sorry, it's a bad pic. It's a grainy picture. Use American. So they're continuing on American services. And then we have that large, about 16% do Southwest, and we have Spirit, United, Delta, Frontier, Alaska Air, and other. So most people still fly out of American, which is interesting. I didn't know that. This is also another interesting map that I thought, or a picture that I thought you'd enjoy. In 1978, here's all the airlines we have, and then that's when deregulation began. And then in 1990, you can see it gets smaller. In 2000, you can get smaller. And then we have like four major airlines. It's just crazy the way things have changed. They also talked about one of the problems was in 2009, they had the last major airline crash in New York City, or in New York State, I believe it was. And because of that, they changed the airline safety. They passed the Airline Safety Act, which required pilots to go from having 250 hours before they could fly to having 1500. And he said that many people in many countries around the world followed America's lead in how we did the airline industry, because we were the leaders in the airline industry, but not one other country followed us in that particular aspect. And it's made it harder to get pilots, and it's changed the dynamics of so many things because of that requirement. And so they're trying to work on it, but I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So that was an interesting thing that I didn't know about, that the last major airplane crash in America happened in 2009. Let me see if this is, yeah, that's all the pictures I have for that. Then the other thing that I thought was interesting is one of the issues that is a problem with our airline, which is our airport, which is not necessarily that big of a problem, is that we actually have, it's called the Envoy maintenance base here in Abilene. And so American flies in here even sometimes just to get planes maintenance, have their maintenance done. And so when that happens, it kind of makes it where America's not going to go anywhere. So there's not a competition that's going to run them off. So sometimes airlines don't really want to have to fight that. And so again, they're working on different ways to find opportunities to make it inviting for other companies to come to Abilene, so we can make our flying our airport more practical for people to use rather than going to Dallas. So I think that was all. It was a really, really interesting meeting. I appreciated it. And besides the fact that I was disappointed that I took all that time to make notes about everything and then they just did a whole nother presentation, I think the meeting went well. The other thing I had issue with is they started talking to people in the audience and the camera couldn't get to the audience members talking. We couldn't hear what they were saying. And then the speaker who had a microphone would turn his back to the microphone and speak and address to the people in the audience. So we couldn't hear what they were asking. And to me, that just makes no sense on how something can be run so poorly when most of the time these meetings are run really well. So, you know, you live and learn and try and figure out how to have a better standard for the most part. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk to you was the next meeting, which happens typically simultaneously with the airport development board meeting, which is the Keep Abilene Beautiful meeting. And so what I found is this board meeting actually posts minutes, which is helpful because there's no recording of it. So I went through and looked at all the different agenda items that they worked on. They decided to have a budget of $5,000 to use for a lawyer to help them figure out how to structurally change to be less, to be more 501c3 and less city oriented, I think. And so they also decided to spend money on kites for, what was that day called? Cupid's Kite Fest, which happened on Saturday. And so they donated $500 worth of kites to that. And they also were wanting to help ACU out and have their community, community day of service. There we go. And that's on March 2nd. So those are two things they're working with. And then apparently it is like beautification for the whole state from March until May. And they have all these different toolkits. They have three different toolkits, one to help with the waterways, but they have to be within a certain mileage from certain stores to use their toolkits. There's also TxDOT has some things and the community in general. And so I thought this was interesting to let you know that they had their 2023 impact stats where I'm going to see if I can zoom in on this so I can read it. 1,500 roadway miles were cleaned. There was 21,321 volunteers. And again, I don't know if this is an Abilene or the whole state of Texas. Let's see if I can zoom over here and find if it says that. It just says American. So I'm not sure. I think this is Texas because it's Keep Texas Beautiful, the KTB. Okay. And then they had 756,000 pounds of trash collected and recycling. They had 38,000 volunteer hours, $1.2 million in the value of volunteer hours, 197 miles of waterway cleared, and 285 trees planted. All right. So because of the way they do it, I only can follow up with what happened. It's not very current and not very timely. I think that was it. I did take some notes, but not very many. They had two new board members that were officially recognized, Allison Evans and Johanna Partain. They also talked about the Governor's Community Achievement Award and filling the applications for that. Then I think that's all that happened during that meeting. But again, I wish they would record it so we could hear. I do think they're trying to do some good things, but it's hard to keep up with it, especially when it's simultaneously with another meeting on that day. All right, so let's go ahead and move to the next one, which is the Civil Service Commission agenda. Okay, so I've tried to pay attention to boards. This was on Thursday, and you know, I knew again this was a pretty short board meeting. They had an election of their chair and vice chair, and they also took action to amend the City of Abilene Firefighters and Police Officers Local Civil Service Rules and Regulations. And I knew it was going to be a short meeting, but I went anyway because I just wanted to know what this was about because there's not a lot of information on it. And so because it was a short meeting and they did have to amend their rules and regulations, they had some time where they were hanging out afterwards, and I took advantage and asked them to explain to me what it did, what this board is. And they meet infrequently because there's a lot of times they don't actually have to do anything for the community in this aspect, because a lot of times things are resolved at the lower levels. And so when it comes to this level, it means they've been unable to resolve issues. Like last city council meeting, there was a settlement they mentioned that happened. And if it hadn't been settled, then it would have probably come to their civil service commission to deal with it. There are three Civil Service Commission board members. The three board members, they elected Blair Schroeder as the chair and Reggie McCabe Gessett. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm sorry. He was the vice chair. And then Gary Bone was elected in December, I believe, or appointed to the board. And so it was good. It was quick. But again, I'm getting bold and I'm just going up to people and asking those questions. And I think it's important that we're not afraid to just engage with appointed officials and elected officials and just say, say who you are and just start to, you know, engage with them in a relationship, because that's the way it's supposed to be. And the more we can do that, the better. And that's why I do this podcast, because I want you to understand enough information so that you can have some kind of footing, foundation, I guess I should say, that when you go up to people, you're not wondering, what is this all about? And, you know, I'm starting to see that a lot of people do a lot of different things. And so it's important to know the people in the different positions so that you can begin to find out who is willing to talk to you, who is not okay with talking to you, who wants you just to go away, and who actually wants to do their best to make our city a better place and allow us to be educated and informed along the way. And I can get behind people who choose to do that for sure. All right. So that is all of this week's meetings. There was a lot that happened. It took a lot of time for me, but for you, I was able to summarize it in such a way that I hope that this was a short podcast and was enlightening to you. So I think that wraps it up for this week. It wasn't a lot for you, but there was a lot of fun facts that we talked about this week. And so let's now go into the week in preview. All right. This week has a lot of stuff. And I'm going to have to make some choices because there's a lot of things going on. The Parks Recreation Board meets on February 20th at 8:30. Then we have the Public Health District Board meets at 1 p.m. at the health department on the first floor conference room right across from City Hall or next to City Hall. And then the Abilene Metropolitan, I think that's Metropolitan or I never can remember what MPO stands for. The policy board it has to talk about with all the TxDOT and the traffic and things that we're doing here in the city and the county. It's on February 20th at 1:30. And then on Wednesday, we have the Abilene Housing Authority Board at their location at 9 a.m. and the Senior Citizens Advisory Board at the Cobb Rec Center at 9 a.m. So you'll have to choose there if you have a chance to go to either one of those. And then this is when I'm still learning how to navigate through the Abilene Convention Center Hotel Development Corporation Board. Happens on February 23rd, which is after the City Council meeting that that says on February 23rd. So that looks like that maybe is on Friday, because the City Council meeting, I wrote that down wrong, is on February 22nd at 8:30. So I'll have to check on that one to see if it's on Thursday. Normally they don't have them on Friday. So that's will be interesting. I'll look here in a minute and find out. But what I wanted to show you is that it's the next step. You know, being a part of boards is a pipe dream, I think, unless you have connections on the City Council, but it's important to follow the board. So find a board you want to follow and see what it does, because you find out really interesting information. For example, the Parks and Recreation Board, I always like to look at the agendas, and sometimes I have time to preview them before this meeting and this podcast, and sometimes I don't. This one, I wanted to look and see if there's anything interesting on here. And here they are talking about the new dog park location. Again, this is something I hope I can go to the meeting and ask them about it, because I don't know why we're relocating the new dog park for $500,000, but we are paying to relocate it to another location. And that makes no sense to me, but I'm going to ask questions, because who am I? I'm just an average citizen, and maybe I don't know all the facts. And they're also talking about baseball softball expansion project, which they've allocated some money to. And then they go through their parks report, of all the different things going on in the city, and that includes the zoo. And so that's the agenda, and those are things I think are important for you to know. Now, the Health District Board agenda, they have appointed a new health authority, Dr. Gary Holland, and I guess he'll be introduced there. The Mercy Health Care Clinic is damaged, and from what I understand, all the things that the Mercy Health Care Clinic is run is through federal grants and monies. And so it is something that is interesting for me to learn more about, for sure, for people who need assistance. There's a refugee program update. So it's interesting. I read this and then I wasn't really, I always thought it was about nursing, but it's talking about refugees. So I wonder if that's going to be in our area. So again, that's something I'm going to be interested in learning about. Then there's also an epidemiology update, the flu trends, vaccination rates for kindergartners and seventh graders in Taylor County. And again, those are things I'm interested in because it matters what we require of our children and how we know way more about the medical industry than we ever did before. So these are things I want to know about. So I just wanted to point that out to you. And then I wanted to show you this. This is a hard agenda to find. It's the Abilene Metropolitan Planning Organization. There we go. MPO, Transportation Policy Board. I knew it was transportation policy. So this is stuff that's really above my pay grade. I still don't understand all the stuff they're talking about, but they are very informative and they talk about a lot of stuff going on with transportation. So if that's something that interests you, this is something I would say start to look into and find. Now I will show you really quickly if I can go. I had it actually come to the Abilene MPO Policy Board meetings, and then I clicked on February 20th. But if you're not aware where that is, if you go to agenda minutes on the regular website, you know, through government, and then you have agenda minutes, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom. And these are the different kind of boards. I don't know how to describe these, except these are ones that are more government oriented. We have the Abilene Convention Center down Hotel Development Corporation, Abilene Housing Authority, the MPO, Betty Hardwick, the DCOA, Meet and Confer Police and Fire, and the TERS Board. So we have all those different down there, but you have to click on them. And they're not always easy to find. And so I looked at the Abilene Convention Center Hotel Development Corporation, and it says it's meeting on Friday. See, it's good to pay attention sometimes because I was going to think my Thursday was really busy, but this is going to meet on Friday, at the which is unusual. And they're actually... This is really fun. They're going to be meeting at the DoubleTree Hilton Smokehouse Restaurant Dining Room. So this is for considering several items. So we're going to go there and see what's going on there. They're going to approve the minutes, which are not posted or available to us. And we're going to receive an update from the hotel asset manager and approve the fiscal year annual corporate budget. And then they're adjourned. So I'll let you know if I'm able to attend that one, what's going on there, because there are no videos typically, especially off campus. So we'll have to figure that out. So I just wanted to wrap this up and say, we have to take a part in making sure that we are engaged with what's going on in our community. And we have to understand that, you know, if people are going to challenge other people's positions, if they just call people names, just know that that's not a very substantiated position to take. You know, don't just call people names. That's not what we're talking about. Let's talk about ideas. Let's challenge each other ideas, because, you know, there are some issues that have been really muddled up in the last few weeks that it makes the conversation really confusing, because I feel like I understand the position and then people will say something. I'm like, what are we even talking about, right? So definitions matter. Get to the point where you're willing to say, okay, how do you define that? Because if we just use buzzwords, sometimes we can be talking about two different things. And it's so important that we are willing to find people who will engage with us. And if they, no matter how they approach you, it's really important, or how they respond to you, it's important to honor them for even being willing to engage with you. Now, it may not be necessarily a pleasant conversation, or they may not even be really addressing the issues, but we can be grateful that people are engaging, because it's when they stop engaging is where, is it tyranny happens or violence happens? You know, I've been trying to see how we can make a better have a better path forward to be able to have these hard conversations. And it's just getting started. And the hardest step is the first step. And then once you start talking, you realize, hey, I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be informed on all areas before I ever speak to an issue, because it's okay to have dialogue and it's okay to talk about things. And I'm so appreciative when people are willing to at least engage. It's not always going to go the way I want, but when I get to engage with people, it allows me to have a place to move forward further in our relationship, if that's necessary, or to know to run far away and recognize that that's not a safe place to go. But either way, it gives us information and knowledge, and that's something we should do, because part of why we have so many campaign flyers coming is we have been really just kind of coasting, and we haven't really been paying attention, and things have gotten to a place where we don't even know how to do that. So again, I'm sorry if you hate the campaign flyers. I have moved enough in the last few years that they don't know how to track me, so I don't get very many of them, but that's okay. we can just throw them in the trash and recognize that what a gift it is that we have an election process that allows us to actually engage with people who are running for office. We get to hear their ideas and we get to vote what we want because we actually do get to make an impact when we vote. So I hope you'll make sure you find the place that you're going to go show up to vote and make sure you show up to early voting is February 20th through March 1st and regular election day is March 5th and we will see what exciting things are to come in the days ahead and be grateful that we live in the country that we do that has the system set up in place so that we can actually make a difference in the places that we live that matter to us and our family and future generations. So I just want to remind you that we can always look at things and see the worst in them or see the blessing that it actually represents that there are so many people who want to make sure that the right people get elected. Now, what that means for you, I don't know, but you need to be educated and informed. So I would really love it if you would help subscribe, if you would subscribe and then share this with your family and friends so that they can make sure that they know where a great source of information is, because there's times where we're going to need to know what's going on. And if we don't have a great reliable source of information, which I hope to be that for you is in terms of what's going on in the city, then you can be a little lost and waste a lot of precious time taking care of things that need to be dealt with because there is a clock working against us on some of these things that we need to address in a timely manner to be able to make sure that they don't go in a direction we don't want them to. So I appreciate that because my heart is to make sure that you are educated and informed and empower you so that you can make an impact in Abilene in the big country. Until next time.